Okay, we want to get started tonight. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online this evening to our Bible study at Waldo Baptist Church. It's a delight to be here this evening and have everybody in the auditorium that's here and to have you folks that are watching online. Appreciate it so much. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Hopefully, I'll get through the end of that chapter tonight. I didn't get very far this morning. Kevin doesn't listen very fast, and so it takes me longer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you because you are an unchanging God from everlasting to everlasting. You're truly the same. We live in a broken world. We live in a changing world where there's sorrow and heartache and death and despair. And Father, we thank you that Jesus is the answer for what's wrong with our world. Jesus is the answer for what's wrong with us. We thank you that you broke into our life one day. Thank you for your grace that saves us and your grace that keeps us. We thank you, Father, that when we were not even mindful of you, our lives were graven in your hands. And Father, we're thankful that in spite of our self-righteousness and our rebellion and our brokenness, you saw fit to reach down and save our wretched souls. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you for loving us with a love that is unfathomable. We thank you for caring for us many times when we don't even care for ourselves, and all the things you do for us each day. We lift up our sick and hurting to you, some that are suffering a great deal. We pray, Lord, that you might bless them with your presence, that you might hold them close with your love and grace, that you might pour out your mercies that are new every day, and Lord, they might feel you close to them. And Father, you might give them comfort and that you might give them grace, and give them strength for each day. Father, we pray for our shut-ins that aren't able to be here, that, Lord, they might watch online or they might know even if they're not here, they are here in our hearts and lives, that we love them very much. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house on the Lord's Day and study your word and to commune with you. We thank you, Father, that in spite of our unfaithfulness, you're always faithful. Thank you for loving us, caring for us, saving our souls, teaching us, guiding us, and giving us life eternal. We praise you, we thank you, we love you. And we ask you to watch over those of our church family that are disabled, that are not able to be here, that are suffering. Lord, bless and watch over each one and those that care for them. We thank you for your word, which is an absolute treasure from heaven. As you are unchanging, so is your word. So we pray tonight that you might be glorified by your word that we share together. We thank you that you've given us this love letter, this guide, this map that can bring us to heaven in your presence. And not only bring us to heaven in your presence, but one day present us without blemish or sin before your throne. What a glorious thing it is to be forgiven. We thank you, Father, for your Son Christ, for the life we have in him, for the Spirit that guides us and leads us and teaches us each day. For without it, we would all be lost. Thank you again, Father, for who you are and the mighty things that you do each day. And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And through his shed blood, we pray. Amen. I asked you this morning a question. What was the greatest attribute or characteristic that you thought we received when we were born again, when we were regenerated? And as we studied that this morning, we said that the greatest attribute or the greatest characteristic that we have that came at the point of regeneration in our life, that now wells up within us, who have been born again and saved by the grace of God, is love. And that love is manifested in our life. As we grow, I think it grows. And we grow in the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, it grows even more precious. And it is so important. I cannot stress to you how important it is. Many times, and we talked about this morning and looked at scriptures, and we'll go on from there tonight. But many times we think, well, evangelism is having a revival, calling in an evangelist, and having a series of meetings, and having the Word of God preach. But the greatest tool in evangelism is the Word of God and the love of God that is shown forth in our hearts and lives. Jesus said, when we love each other as He and the Father love us, then they will know that the Father has sent Him. The greatest thing the world needs to see today is true love. And it is a love that comes within. And it cannot be conjured up. It cannot be imitated. It cannot be worked up just because you say, I will love someone. It is something that comes as a gift from God when regeneration comes in your heart. And it is planted there in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And it is such a powerful thing to see people that genuinely love one another, because our world is so devoid of true love in the world in which we live today. There is so much deception, there is so much lie, there is so much brokenness, there is so much hate, there is so much deceit in the world in which we live, that we can love one another despite of our differences just because we're the same family and the family of God. And to be part of the family of God is not something that we're born into naturally. It's something that we're born into supernaturally by the grace of God and the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And as we look at this tonight, I pray that each of us, including myself, can see how important it is that the people that come through these doors see that we genuinely love each other. That it is not make-believe. It is genuine. And it comes from within, and it comes from the heart. And it's something that, as a lost person, I could not do. But it is something that God has put within me that I not only can do, but I must do, as the Spirit of God leads me, if I'm to follow Christ. And so as we look at this tonight and think about this, it is something that we cannot stress too much. In the 22nd verse of the first chapter of the book of 1 Peter, he says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply. Now, if you have a different translation, it may use the word fervently, that you love one another fervently. And so, as I was studying about this, I was reading what MacArthur had to say about it and others, and it is stretching out yourself to the limit. If we're talking about lifting something, it is lifting something that you are using all of your strength, that you are stretching your muscle and you're using all of your strength to do, that you are stretching yourself out to the limit to be able to lift that. And so God wants us to stretch ourselves, to stretch out ourselves in loving one another, stretch out ourselves. And in loving one another, we're not just talking about words. We're talking about action that happens and deeds that we do in our life because we love one another. James, he said, show me your works. He ties our works and our salvation together. I'll see your faith when I see your works. And so when we care for one another, driven from a love that comes within us, it is something that the world can't replicate. It is something that is not natural to natural man. It is something that becomes supernatural because you have been supernaturally changed by the grace of God. I mentioned it this morning, but look at it like this. Regeneration is an event that takes place at a specific time in your life. And at that event of regeneration, there is a love that God puts in your heart that comes from within that you did not possess before, that comes from Almighty God Himself. And it is that kind of love that He's talking about here when He says we would love one another fervently or we would love one another deeply. And as I mentioned this morning, when someone comes through those doors, lost, haven't been saved, one of the greatest things that they can see, that they can realize, that they can take hold of, is how we love one another. How we love one another. That is going to affect them by the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, and touch their hearts where it needs to be touched. Because everyone needs love. Everyone does. And I did not understand, I had no conception of that kind of love until Christ came into my heart. No conception of that kind of love. It isn't that my parents didn't love me. It isn't that my wife didn't love me. It isn't that I had not been loved. It was I had never been or felt that kind of love until Christ came into my heart and changed my life. And the Holy Spirit regenerated my heart and took out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. When He did that, then I could respond to God with that same kind of love, and I could respond to others with that same kind of love as well when it happened in my life. So we share with others indeed. Sometimes people ask me, well, how's your family doing? Well, I've got a big family. My family includes you. You are as much my family as the one that's naturally been born into my family. Supernaturally, we are a family. And when I would talk to Caleb when God was bringing him here, or when we met with Nate and I talked to him, I said, we are not a staff, we are a family. And we are not just a body of people that gather together. We are a family that gathers together. When one of us isn't here, part of the family's missing. When we're not here, part of the family is not whole. And when someone isn't here, we should be concerned about why they're not here. Because we love them and we miss them. Because they are part of this family that God has locally put together here at Waldo Baptist Church. And so this is what we're looking at when we think about this. Another thing, Jesus said we are to forgive each other 70 times 7, which means we go on forgiving. One of the worst things that can happen in a local church is unforgiveness. It's one of the worst things that can happen in a local church. Unforgiveness. If Christ can forgive you after what you've done, How can we not forgive someone else? Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, I know what Christ did for me. And I know what I did for Christ before I was saved. Nothing. And so forgiveness has a big part in the love that we say we have as we care about one another in the body of Christ. It is, none of us are perfect. I always said there are just two kind of people in the world, saved sinners and lost sinners. Positionally, we've been made righteous and declared righteous by the grace of God. But I got news for you. You can go talk to my wife and she'll let you know how imperfect I am. And it won't take long for her to come up with this, 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 and this. And I could say the same thing about your spouse as well. So we're all imperfect people in an imperfect world with a perfect God. And so it is that love, that grace that should motivate us, realizing our own shortcomings and our own misgivings and our own sin in our life, that should make us capable of forgiving one another and helping one another. Helping one another. My dad used to always say, I'm trying to think what my dad said. It just went out one side and down the other. Yeah, you know how it is. If you're 80 years old, you know how it is, right? That's how it is. But he would say, always lend a hand. You don't kick somebody when they're down. You help them up. Especially in the body of Christ. That's what we're here for and that's what we do. How are we to love then? Fervently. We're to stretch ourselves out beyond the natural person to love each other. And to be there for each other. And to love each other. Because the world has, they have no answer for that. They have no answer for that. Because they've never experienced anything like that. And so it is so important. You know, I think Nate's a great preacher. I've enjoyed every message he's brought. But the truth of the matter is, he can preach all the great messages in the world, but if people walk through those doors and they don't see we love one another, it's not going to do any good. It's not going to do any good. And the greater we love one another, the greater effect it will have on people that's never experienced that kind of love. That's what we need to do. So how are we to love each other? We are to love each other to the limit. We are to love each other to the limit. He said in Luke 10:27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Except for the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, that would be an impossibility. That would be an impossibility. And I fail in that so many times. I fail in that so many times. I have to stop, and I've always said this, sometimes I just need to stop and have a talk with myself. I just need to stop and have a talk with myself and say, look where God has brought you from. Look what God has done in your life. And look what God, who God, has blessed you with. And when I do that, I don't have the mully grubbies anymore. You have the mully grubbies? You ever feel sorry for yourself? Yeah, well, you have a little talk with you and the Lord, and your mully grubbies will be gone. And so, as I do that, it is that I would love fervently with a love that stretches me beyond myself, a supernatural love to the limit. This is a question that as I studied this, you know, sometimes I study and I just get fired up and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to fight the devil himself. And then sometimes I study the Word and I study what I'm going to teach on, and boy, do I get convicted. Do I get convicted? Because one thing God will always do is show me where I fall short. Show me who I really am and what needs to change in my life. So I asked myself this question. Who do I know that has a need? Who do I know that has a need? Very simple thing. Who do I know that has a need? Whether I'm talking about financially, whether I'm talking about spiritually, whether I'm talking about encouragement, whether I'm talking about loving them better, whether I'm talking about anything you can think of, anybody within the body of Christ that has need. Some people are struggling. They're really struggling. They're struggling because of illness. They're struggling because of marital problems. They're struggling because of the world they live in. They're struggling because they're lonely. They're struggling because of financial loss. They're struggling because Satan has beat them down. They're struggling because their spouse is hurt. They're struggling because of so many things. Because we live in this broken world. And it's hard. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. Who needs my love? Who needs my help? Because there's always somebody. There's always somebody. And then we have to be willing to stretch ourselves to act on that need that we see that that person has. And I have to confess, so many times I fail. I'll have somebody on my mind and I'll think, I need to call that person. I need to pray for that person. I need to touch base with that person. And as usual, my wife will ask me at the end of the day, did you call them? And I'll have to say, no, I didn't. And I know I should have. So I want us to continually ask ourselves these questions. Who do you know that's struggling emotionally, hurting emotionally? You know, sometimes it's just a word. Sometimes it's just a sentence. I know I don't visit the hospital when I was a senior pastor, I visited almost every day. But I don't visit the hospital like I used to. But I know sometimes I'd get on the elevator and I'd see some woman on there wiping away tears. And I'd look at her and God would say, you need to say something. And I would say, you know the Lord loves you. God loves you. And sometimes that's what they needed. They just needed to know. You know, sometimes they just need to know somebody cares. Somebody cares. We see people all the time. We see them and they look broken. I know, again, you think, he must hate Walmart. I don't really think the devil started Walmart or it's come out of Hades. I don't think that. I know how difficult it can be sometimes. But I also know when I go through the line and check out, I don't like self-checkout, okay? I go through the line and when I'm going through the line, usually one of the checkers will ask me, well, how are you doing? And I'll say, well, I'm doing good for an old guy. But how are you doing? How are you holding up? I bet you've had a busy day. I bet you've had a long day. And I want to hear from them. I want to hear what they're struggling with. And sometimes it gives you an opportunity to say, you know, I understand. It's hard, isn't it? But you know, God is good. And He's good all the time. And I know I was checking out the other day and I was going through the line and I was checking, this lady was checking me out And she was talking about the world and what kind of shape it is. And I said, isn't it good that Jesus is coming? And she said, yes, it is. I said, I'm ready, aren't you? She said, yes, I am. I said, boy, that's a good thing to know. Sometimes God puts you in opportunities. It may be somebody you never met before in all your life. It may be somebody you've known all your life. But God puts you in opportunities for the love of God to come out of you and touch somebody's life. For the love of God to come out of you and touch somebody's life. And it's we get so busy trying to get everything done. I know Kay makes out a list. And I look at that list. And I've got all this. I am the grocery shopper. I am pretty good at it now. She told me the other day, she said, won't you go to Kroger's? I said, nope. I know where everything is at Walmart now. Took me 3 years to learn where everything was at Walmart. I'm not going to Kroger's. I know where everything is at Walmart. And so I go to Walmart and I look down the list and I'm trying to get everything. And literally, when I go to Walmart, I run behind the shopping cart. So don't get my way. I run behind the shopping cart because I'm trying to get through and get everything. But even as you go, and wherever you go, you have something in you that God has put there that the world so desperately needs. So desperately needs. And it's just love. It's just love. And people can tell whether you fake or not. They can tell. Just take a moment. And let them know you care about them. Let them know that you care. So, who do you know that has a need? Almost everyone. Almost everyone. Who do you know that's struggling emotionally? Who do you know that's struggling spiritually? Who do you know that's struggling in their marriage? In any number of ways. We have widows in our church that struggle. Loneliness. I know my own sister sometimes will sit down and talk about it. And it's not easy. And there is a void in their life. And they need to know more than anything else in the world that somebody besides just their own immediate family loves them and thinks of them, prays for them, cares about them because they're struggling in loneliness. And they don't need that. They don't need to be on an island. They don't need to be in loneliness, whatever that it is that's going on. There's single parents trying to raise kids and they're struggling. They're having a hard time. And they're looking for someone that cares, that just simply cares. And so all these things, there's people that's going through tragedy in their life. They've lost a loved one, they've lost a spouse, they've lost a son, they've lost a daughter. They've lost someone that they cared for so much, and they aren't there anymore. And they need someone. I always said, you know, they need someone with skin on them to let them know that they love them and they care about them. Because it means so much. Even if you just show up. I know as a pastor, many times I would be going to a house or a place where something tragic had happened, and I would be praying on the way there, Lord, I want to say the right thing. I want to do the right thing. I want to say the right. And sometimes it's just not that what you say, it's just that you are there and they know you care. Many times that's what it is. They just know you're there and that you care. And that means so much to them. That goes so far. I wrote down something that's important for me to think about. How many people are there in my world that are desperate, at a desperate level in their life, and just need to know they're loved? At a desperate level in their life and just needs to know they're loved. Somebody cares. Somebody cares. I wrote down good questions for me to ask myself. Who do I know that has a real need? Second question I ask myself is this, and boy, this is a tough one. What am I doing about it? What am I doing about it? It's one thing to say, oh, I know this person, this person, this person has a need, but then what am I doing about it in my own life? Who do I know that has a real spiritual need? What am I doing about it? Who do I know that has a financial need? What am I doing about it? Who do I know that's struggling emotionally because of a child that's wayward? What am I doing about it? Who do I know that's married to an alcoholic suffering abuse? What am I doing about it? And I could go on and on and on and on. Who do I know that has a spouse that's facing death? What am I doing about it? What am I doing about it? You see, it's one thing to say, oh yeah, I know. And praying is very important. Praying is very important. But sometimes they need someone with skin on them to be there. Just so they know you really care. Or just call them. Call them and let them know you're really there. Nothing else, text them. I don't like texts because they're kind of impersonal. I like to hear somebody's voice and let them hear my voice. Let them know that you care about it. So these are all things that I've looked at in my own life. Notice what he says here in the scriptures. He says, "One love one another deeply or fervently from the heart." From the heart. This love that we receive when Christ comes into our heart is a supernatural love that cannot be faked, and it has to come from within. It comes from within us. It is as natural as breathing for someone that's truly born again. Natural as breathing for someone that's truly born again. And sometimes, you know, Satan comes and he says, oh, you better not go over there, you'll mess things up. Or you know, you better not say anything, you won't say the right thing. Or you better not do this, or you better not do this. The worst thing you can do is do nothing. So, how are we to love? To the limit. To the limit. Well, where does that love come from? Well, I could go over here to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And you notice what Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, it doesn't say but the fruits of the Spirit. Because if it did, you'd be saying, well, I'm going to pick this one, and this one, but I'm not going to do these others. No, the fruit of the Spirit. That means all of these come together. All of these come together. They're included in. If you're walking in the Spirit and the Spirit of God is guiding you and leading you, this is very evident in your life as a believer. The fruit, singular, of the Spirit is, first of all, love, joy, peace. peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. So Galatians chapter 5 tell me that, and this is the thing I found out to be true in my life. This is the thing I found out to be true in my life. When I get myself out of the way, and I really, truly allow the Spirit of God to lead me and guide me, I'm going to experience something supernatural and wonderful in my life that is going to help change someone else's life. Because it's not about me. When I get me out of the way, and I simply say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Use me. Use me. And I let the Spirit of God lead me, control me, and guide me. I am going to experience some of the richest blessings in my life that I could never have dreamed would happen. Would ever happen. Because now I'm working not naturally. That's not a natural thing to do. I'm working supernaturally, in step, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is guiding me. And when that happens, I'm going to have some of the greatest experiences in my life I've ever had. And when I do not do that, I'm going to miss some of the greatest experiences in my life I've ever had. Because I did not do that. And I've told you before, as a pastor and a preacher, sometimes I would be in the pulpit, when I would be in the pulpit and I'd have a sermon ready. Sometimes I'd have two or three ready, and I hadn't even decided setting up there what I'm going to preach yet. Nate's a lot better. He can plan. This guy can plan months ahead what he's going to preach. Sometimes I didn't know till Saturday morning. I envy that. And sometimes God in the service, I mean the Spirit of God is moving and the Spirit of God is falling upon the lives of people and I can see it. And He just says, get out of the way. And I don't even preach. I just give an invitation. And it's at those times that I've just got myself out of the way. And I've said, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to come to this altar, come. And people would just flood out of the pews. Because God said, Jack, it's not about you. It's all about me. It's all about me. I had to learn as a young pastor not to try to control everything. Not to try to be rigid in going through the bulletin or the steps or whatever that we had planned to do. If God said, sing this song, I'd say, sing this song. If God said, don't preach, I don't preach. If God said, just get up and give your testimony. I just get up and give my testimony. Because really, it really doesn't matter who I am. The only thing that matters is what God can do. It's the only thing that matters. And in your life as an individual, some of the richest experiences you'll have in your life is when you just let go of self and you just let God guide you in your life. And it is such a freedom. It is such a glorious feeling to know that God used you to bless and to change somebody's life. somebody's life. Okay. Philippians 1:9 says, I pray this, that your love may abound still more and more. The greatest potential we have in our life as a believer is that our love can grow. Our love can abound more and more in our lives. In our lives. And so that's something that we have to realize as well. In 1 Thessalonians 3:11 and 12, it says, Now may our God and Father Himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. Then he says this, And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. May the Lord cause you to increase, abound in love for one another. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater, he says. And so all through Scripture, we're commanded not only to love, but that that love might grow in our life as a believer. The next question we ask ourselves is this, why are we to love like this? Why is it so important that we love like this? He tells us here in the book of 1 Peter, He says, For you have been born again. Why is it so important for you to love like this? For you have been born again. You have been born again. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. You know, when Trad told us he was going to retire, we're looking for a pastor. Kevin knows how many applications we had to begin with. I don't know if it was 100 or 70-something or what it was. Seemed like it was 100 and something. They cut it down to 70 something, or 70 and something like that. And then it just ended up with two, just Nate and someone else. And really, Nate and the other person would have been great pastors. But God brought Nate here, and I'm grateful He did. Because what we really were concerned about, as much as anything, was that we wanted somebody that preached the Word. Someone that preached the Word. Because it is the imperishable seed. It is the imperishable seed. Now you think about this. What did I have to contribute in my birth? Nothing. I'm talking about my natural birth. Did you pick your parents? Did you pick when you'd be born? Did you pick where you'd be born? You had nothing to do with it, did you? Nothing. Same is true with Almighty God and being born again. It's like God is your parents and the Word is the seed. And it is the imperishable seed. And he talks about here, he says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We want somebody that will preach the word of God as it is to people as they are. Unashamedly and preach it straight as it is. Because the word of God is imperishable and it has the power of God to change a life. All men are like grass. He's talking about us, men and women. All of us are like grass. And he goes on to say there in the scripture, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. You ever drive around here in the springtime, and a lot of farmers plant wheat and different things and different. Sometimes you'll look out and you'll see a field and it is so green. It is so green and it is so beautiful as you look out in it. And then sometimes you look out in that field and it's green and you look right out in the middle of it and here has sprung up this wildflower. And right in the middle of that field is a wildflower. And it stands out and it shines above everything else. And that is the glory of that field. But you come back in December. You come back in January. And that field is brown and that flower has faded and they've all died out. Such is the lives of us human beings. Some rise, they may be a, sometimes I get so upset, and my wife gets on me because I get so, when I get upset, she gets upset at me. Never have understood that. Because they'll have some movie star or some singer or someone on there and they'll say, well, look at this. This is a star. And I'm thinking, not really. Not really. How much difference does it make if what's that guy's name that Trump's got with him all the time that's a billionaire? Huh? John Musk. Yeah, okay, Musk, okay. He got billions of dollars, billions of dollars, billions of dollars. If you bury me next to him, what difference it make whether he had $1 billion or I had $100? What difference is it going to make? What difference is it if is it going to make if someone's got their name in a star in Hollywood on the sidewalk and nobody ever heard of you when you're buried side by side? The only thing that's going to matter is what you've done with Christ. And the only thing that's going to matter is what you've done in Christ since you were born again. That's the only thing that's going to matter. Not how big your house was, what kind of car you drove. God help us that somebody said, oh, well, you're famous. It really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you know Christ. And the other thing that's going to matter is because you know Christ, because you were born with an imperishable seed and you had the love of God within you, what did you do about it? What did you do about it? I told them this morning, Nate, I said, I like one of your sayings. When you came to the church here, you said you liked the church because the people loved well. That's so important. That's so important. And I've already went past it. I was going to have prayer time and already messed that up, went past that. But why are we to love like this? Because we've been born again, because we've had the love of God shed in our hearts, and it is something, a power and a grace and a something that within us that God put there that it might flow out of us like a river. And it might flow out of us like a river, and it might touch people's lives all around us, and they might look at us and say, "How can you love me?" And the only answer you got, because Christ loved me first. Because Christ loved me. And He put that love in my heart. He put that love in my heart. It has absolutely nothing to do with who I am. It has everything to do with who He is. It has everything to do with who He is. That I can even love someone. Love never fails. Corinthians chapter 13. Love never fails. And it never fails.